gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, well, I'm doing a heck of a lot better than I did yesterday. Had a great deep night's sleep last night, and boy, that show yesterday was that's quite a show, you know, because we're all with a lot of different things, man. And you know, I think that that's part of the problem. One of the reasons that we have so much tension and so much communication. What's the word I'm looking for? Path and all bearing our own burdens. You know, I look down to all the guys that are in the queue here, 33 people in here, it'll probably increase, and every one of them is carrying something, whether it's an issue with their children or whether it's an issue on the job or whether it's whether it's a tax issue, whether it's a health issue, whether it's a health issue of a neighbor, of a friend, of a child, whether it's financial issues, whether it's the coronavirus, you have been inside for 2 months. And when we come into relationships with each other, come into contact, we're carrying that junk. We carry it with us. And it causes us sometimes to rise up more quickly in anger, and maybe to take a comment somebody takes the wrong way and to strike out. And I was saying before I came on the show today, at the heart, folks, at the heart of all anger is fear. It's fear is at the heart of all anger. You run into somebody who's angry about something, you're going to find out that something has been done to them that's caused them discomfort or fear, whatever it is. And it's a natural reaction. But unfortunately, many of us can't cut off the roots of that thing and lay it down and say, you know, golly, I'm going to yell at Larry today because I just had an argument with my wife. And I don't realize that I had that argument. I mean, I know I had the discussion with my wife before I came down here. I didn't, but before I came down here. And so therefore, I'm already a little bit on edge. And Larry says the wrong thing and sets me off. And I got that anger in me from what my wife said. It's just tough, man. It's just tough. I also know this, that we as men, we don't cut each other much slack at all. And what's that old saying? You know, you never understand a man till you walk a mile in his moccasins. And so I just pray that I'm always excited to get up here and get here in the morning. And so I say right off the top, man, if I've offended you, I'm sorry, man. I didn't do it on purpose. If I'm going to offend you, I'll let you know. I'll call your name out and tell you. But offense, John Bevere wrote a book on that called The Bait of Satan, which is offense, to take offense at somebody. We take offense at somebody and it impacts us and infects us the rest of our day. And part of what I went through the other night had to do with that. When I laid my head down on the pillow, I'd given the enemy opportunity. I'd given him a portal. I'd given the enemy an opportunity to enter in through anger. And it matters what you put. I had a discussion. He talked about the stages of sleep. Stages you go through, you know, and so that's why when you're in a dream, but you really have no control of anything. Because your conscious mind is what makes the decisions and the reactions and all that. And so you're laying there asleep and you get this crazy dream going on and you're asleep, but this thing's going on in your head. And you understand it's going on in your head, but you're asleep. You're not really there. You're just there. And these thoughts and these dreams, they're dancing around. And most times if you can wake yourself up to where you have conscious thought, then you're okay. We call them nightmares. We call them dreams. And there must be something crazy going on in the spiritual realm at night that does that kind of stuff to us. Really does. I want to back up because I want to share this with you guys. Here's what my torment was yesterday, and I didn't want to share it with you, but this maybe this will bless somebody. I woke up in the middle of the night, and it was pouring down rain. Like it's been raining here for like forever. And it was just, this is about 3 o'clock in the morning. It was pouring like I never heard it pour. And usually I love it. I got the window open. I love to sleep in the rain. But immediately I thought about the fact that my son's house had had the sump pump go out a couple weeks ago, and it ruined his furnace and his hot water heater. And I put a new sump pump in, and I'm not very good at that. Stay with me. I'm trying to go make a point. So I'm laying there and I'm hearing that and I'm thinking, oh my God, is his sump pump going to work? And then I thought about, we sold our other house and we put a new roof on, and there was a little place where water was coming in. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, is that water coming in? And then I thought about up at Sky High where we've had some water issues there. And I'm thinking, okay, is that water coming in there? And thought about four different places. And in my mind, water is coming in every one of those places. I'm asleep. And water's coming in every one of those places, and I know it. And this is going to be ruined. That's going to be ruined. That's going to be ruined. That's going to be ruined. And I'm thinking, do I get up right now? Should I go right now? Get in my head, I'm thinking it's in this never land that I'm in. Should I run down into Zach's and check the sump pump? And finally, boom, I wake up. And I'm telling myself, this is crazy. It's crazy. And I got up and walked out and laid down on the couch and tried to go back to sleep. Couldn't really go back to sleep, and yada, yada, yada. So that caused all that turmoil that I talked about yesterday. And so first thing I did when I got up in the morning, I ran to Zach's house, sump pump working fine. I ran to Maggie's house, no leaks. I ran up to Sky High, no leaks, no water, nothing coming in anywhere. And in fact, I'd had a septic backup into the house on the weekend, and the builder had repaired that. So none of the four things that I had worried about happened. And I got a blessing in the septic, got him repairing that septic when he didn't have to. And I thought, man, oh man, why is it the enemy comes in and torments us like that at night? And what do we do? And people sent me, yeah, read the shit, pray the Sheila Zielinski prayer. Of course, Michelle and I do that every night. Although I'm not sure we did the other night about being tormented in your sleep. And so I just didn't want to leave that hanging out there. Everybody wondering, I wonder what was going on in the coach's house. Well, that's what it was. I'm fixing a hole where the rain gets in, stops my mind from wondering. And it was torment. So I let you know today, no torment last night. I slept like a rock and no water came in anywhere. Mark, you have anything to add about that whole sleep thing? Because I think it's probably a lot of people that are dealing with that issue. I think I saw you in here.
Not really, Coach. I mean, it's a long discussion, but yeah, there's alpha, delta, theta, gamma. And when you go into theta sleep, that's REM. The layer below that, they don't know much about. But I used to go into that layer of sleep, and you lose bodily, some of the involuntary bodily function when you go into that level of sleep. So I had to go through a process of maintaining theta level sleep and not going into gamma sleep. And
what Mark's talking about is you're laying in bed and you're sound asleep, and then all of a sudden you have the sensation you got to pee. It wakes you up.
That's takes right. I went to bed till I was about 10 because I couldn't wake up. And I actually had sleep paralysis and nightmares for most of my life in that level of sleep. And again, all that ceased that in Boise, Idaho, when I met you guys. And yeah, there's something to sleep. You need to pray for protection. And it's important. I believe it's a spiritual time with God's healing. But I don't know a whole lot about it. It's an area I'd love to spend more time.
But we know it's real, don't we, Mark? We know that it's real.
So yes, yes. And you're vulnerable. You're vulnerable in your sleep. Yes.
And garbage in, garbage out. So the things that you've taken in, especially before you go to bed late at night, is really, really important. By the way, let me say this very, very quickly. Last night before I went to bed, if you go to PBS.org, Public Broadcasting System, PBS.org, go there real quick, Sheldon. I watched before I went to bed last night. They are right now running free. Go down to featured shows. They're running a 2-hour video documentary. Right there it is. Stop. Very first one at the top. Go back, Sheldon. Up. No. Go up, please. Right? Episodes. Stop. Clarence Thomas, Created Equal. It's running for free. Folks, you want to spend 2 hours of edifying time. You watch that video. It's free, and it's only free for a very short period of time. Wow. What that guy went through. And almost make you cry. His upbringing by his grandpa and what he learned from his grandpa and what he came out of and what he went through with that whole, what was her name, Anita Hill thing. Wow. I recommend it. Jared, I would post that. I don't know if we're allowed to post it. If we are allowed to post it, dude, post that thing because that one's worth watching. It's called Created Equal. Created Equal. Clarence Thomas in his own words. 1 hour, 55 minutes, and 21 seconds. Be the best 2 hours you'll spend in your day, I promise you. That's what I watched before I went to bed. Slept like a baby. Hey, Sheldon, pull up the very first thing you have there. There's a lot. You know, listen. I want to go to your gifts today. I do want to get to it. But just a couple things I got to cover here. He's never said anything, but I think our friend Alan Zeifer is one of the guys that's being hurt by this economy. Scroll up a little bit. Now, for those of you who don't know, Alan makes a living going to carnivals. They set up a pretzel, Heavenly Pretzels, and that's how he makes his living. And as you know, there ain't any. I can't go anywhere. Can't set up. There aren't any fairs. There aren't any carnivals. And he and his wife, that's what they would do. They would go from carnival to carnival and have this magnificent thing called Heavenly Pretzels. Alan isn't working. Alan didn't have any place to work. And so he's come up with the ability to make these little Heavenly Pretzels. Alan, are you there? Can you explain to us if we were to order some of the Heavenly Soft Pretzels, what do we do with them, Alan, when we get them? Are they already made pretzels? What's the story here?
No, sir, it's dough. It's our dry dough mix, and you just add hot water to it, and it'll make up to 6 of our huge pretzels that we make, the 9-inch pretzels. You can actually use it to make calzones with it. You can use it for pretzel sticks, pretzel bites. You can wrap hot dogs in it and bake them. You can wrap sausages in there and bake them. There's a variety of things you can do, but I've been wanting to do this for a couple of years, but we've been pressured into doing it, and my wife and my daughter finally got everything. The packaging, the label, and all that was the issue there. And we got it done, and we sent our first batch out. Robert Klaus actually took it up to Greenville, Ohio for us on the way home the other day and dropped it off. Radiant Church there in Greenville, Pastor Wes Lynch, him and his wife bought 100 packages from us of dough. So hopefully our website will be completely finished by Monday, and you'll be able to order it right online.
Okay, but we can't do that yet, huh? Because we want to help you, Alan. And people say, I hear, so Alan, how much is, like, how much a package?
It's, we're going to go ahead and charge $14.60 for John 14:6. That's our ministry page, Lifeline Ministry, John 14:6. And then, of course, we got our Heavenly Soft Pretzel page on Facebook as well. So it'll be $14.60 plus shipping.
How much shipping? So $20 you're talking probably, Alan, something like that?
Yes, sir, in that neighborhood. We're trying to work that. That's the main thing that's holding our website up right now is getting the best shipping price that we can.
Okay, so right now, can we help you or not? How can we help
you
right now?
Yes, sir, we can. Yes, sir.
How do we do it?
If you go to my Facebook page, Heavenly Soft Pretzels, just keep an eye on that. And between now and Monday, we're going to have the website up.
Folks, listen, I wish we had a pic. Alan, I'm looking. We got your site up right now. You're probably looking at it. Alan, these aren't little pretzels, right? These aren't little pretzels. These are pretzels. These are big, big pretzels. Do they have to knead their own dough and everything, Alan? Or how does that
happen? Yes, sir. Yeah, it'll fit right in a KitchenAid mixer, the 4.5 quart. That's why we made the mix as it is. It's a 2-pound mix, and you just add 2 cups of hot water. And you can either do it by hand or do it in a mixer, you know, if you have the KitchenAid. And that's sort of the reason that we got it packed the way it is. It's perfect for the KitchenAid mixer, and that's the most popular 4.5 quarts, the most popular one out there.
So, Alan, do I have to cook it all up at once?
No, sir, you don't have to. You could freeze some of it if you want it, or you can make the pretzel. You can freeze the pretzels. We've had pretzels here at the house. I froze for 8 months, pull them out, throw it in the microwave for about 1 minute. They're perfect.
Heavenly Soft Pretzels, Alan. So listen, Monday or whatever, when you get that wet, go now and order some. It would be good. But when it gets it up, well, you can really have it roll and let us know. We'll make sure we'll talk about that again.
Yes, sir, Coach. I sure appreciate that, man. Thank you so much.
That's how you're making your living, man. As folks, I don't want to get into the coronavirus and all that stuff again, but I read something yesterday, 10 things about the American economy that people don't know. Maybe it ain't good. It isn't good. So praise the Lord. And then I came across this yesterday. I pull up the next thing, Sheldon, from our good friend Phil Robertson. I ought to try to get old Phil on the show. I don't know if he'd get up early and do it. But exactly, first guy I've heard say exactly what we've been saying here. Open up. Open up. And Phil made a video yesterday, said what? They don't have enough prisons to hold us all. Open it up. Go ahead and play it there, Jared. All right, Sheldon.
Shut it down. Shut it down. So just forget the Declaration of Independence. Forget the Bill of Rights. And just shut it all down. Because some expert said better shut it down. The plague is going to kill us all. It attacked the nursing homes and the aged. My advice is for everyone, all of you, get together and all of you go to work at once. All of you. They don't have prisons big enough to put you in. Just every last one of you say, we've had enough, pandemic or no pandemic. We'll wash our hands and we'll try to be as careful as we can because this thing here is pretty good, make you pretty sick. But the vast majority pull through. It's not worth shutting the whole country down for month after month after month. We're not going to make it. Let's go back to work. I'm just saying the Declaration of Independence from which the Bill of Rights came from, it's still there. Pandemic or no pandemic. You can't chunk law and order. Some kind of government edict. You say, nope, I'm staying with the Declaration of Independence. I have a God-given right to live, be free, and pursue happiness. But no, we don't believe in God anymore. So we're all telling everybody whether they can go to work or not and shutting down the livelihood and shutting down the economy and saying we're going to do this as long as we want to. These people are Marxist. That's the reason they're doing it. They've brainwashed your kids in these universities, and now we're sitting here saying, well, what I can't do what? No, you can't go to work today. We decide whether you can go to work or not. Show them differently. Get back to work and don't worry about them. Everybody, all at once, on the count of three, ladies and gentlemen, we're all going back to work tomorrow. Beginning at 8 o'clock in the morning or 7 or whatever you want to do, and every last one of you, go to work. They're not going to be able to do anything about it. They're just going to sit and watch. They don't have enough prisons to hold you. I'm just saying we hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal. They have a God-given right from their Creator to live, be free, and pursue happiness. That doesn't change when you have a pandemic. Not one bit. I tell you one thing, the ones who decide right now that instead of following Thomas Jefferson and his instruction via the Declaration of Independence, if you're one of those who say, well, I'll tell you what, well, I'm not going to follow Thomas Jefferson. I'm not going to pay any attention to what he said. I don't believe we had a creator. I don't believe we have God-given rights. I don't believe any of that. Well, you're on the wrong side of this thing. I'm going to follow Karl Marx. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to follow Karl Marx, Phil, not Thomas Jefferson. I'm going to follow Charles Darwin, Phil. I'm not going to follow Thomas Jefferson. The rest of us, if the pandemic gets us, or if hard work finally kills us, we're guaranteed we could be raised from the dead. I'm going with God and Thomas Jefferson.
Amen. 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 Hey, listen, we're 20 minutes into this thing. I haven't opened it up, give anybody a chance to say anything. I gave Mark Trump a little. Anybody got anything to say here before we jump into, well, not enough prisons. Now, wait a minute. There are not enough prisons if we wanted to end abortion. There are not enough prisons. There are not enough prisons if we wanted to get homosexuality out of our schools. There are not enough prisons. There's not enough prisons if we wanted to do away with transgender story time hour in our local library. There ain't enough prisons, see? We're in enough prisons. It's not that, we don't have the deep commitment that something is wrong and let's do something about it. And until we all get there, they're going to continue to pick us off one at a time and yada, yada, yada. I'll open it up. Somebody else want to bark or I'll move on here.
Coach, you know, Coach, it all comes down to belief. If you really deep down inside believe that killing that baby during a quote, what they call abortion is really murder, then you will somehow, some way do something to stop it. Mm-hmm. And it's like if you walk up to a Coke machine, if you believe that Coke machine will give you a bottle of Coke, you'll put your hand in your pocket and you want one. You put your hand in your pocket and you put your money in the machine. Your belief leads you to action. If you stand there wanting that Coke and thirsty and saying, oh, I believe that Coke machine will give me a Coke, and you don't put the money in the machine, you ain't getting no Coke.
Right, right. Or as Bonhoeffer said, not to act is to act. Folks, not to act is to act. It is an act. And so a lot of us we're complicit through silence. We are. Somebody else tried to come in. Come on in.
Yeah, Coach, this is JR. We've had this discussion before. It's not prison that really we should really be concerned about. It's our stuff. They're smart enough not to fill the prisons up, but they can take all of our stuff. Right. That's where they really have a hold on us.
That's true. That's true. And hey, JR, you know, it comes down to greater love has no man than this, and he would lay down his life for his friends. Do I love my stuff more than I love a preborn baby? And I would say that right now the answer is yes. Now, not if it was my baby, if it was my grandchild, I'd probably go lay down in front of the abortion clinic. But I'm not going to go do that and get arrested for somebody else's baby. And to me, that exposes a deep hypocrisy in all of us, really. I'm talking to me now, nobody else but me. If I believe that's a baby and they're murdering that baby, how do I sit at home and ignore it? It's a deep question we all need to ask ourselves. Somebody else?
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
We set the big tent last night in the rain. So we got it up, getting ready to go. We had quite a few people excited about it, doing that tent revival Friday night, 6 to 8, and Saturday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. We're at JC's Auto's Car Lot in Mount Vernon. So looks like we got four or five pastors going to speak, and hopefully you'll make it up to speak. And we even got yesterday, David Arthur's hopping in a rental vehicle, and he's heading this way. So he'll be here for the weekend, too.
Okay, cool. I'll be glad to be there. Free myself up. Again. I always salute you. And evangelistic efforts, Jeff. I think it's a good thing, man. Good thing.
Hopefully, we'll have 200-400 cheeseburgers, 100 hot dogs, potato salad, baked beans. We're gonna have the full kitchen sitting out there. The ice cream truck's full of ice cream. It's ready to go. So. I've got signs being printed today. We're going to put along the road yard signs and my big sign. So they're going to see it all. It's going to draw some attention.
What's the address, Jeff?
6 Columbus Road, Mount Vernon, Ohio. JC's Auto.
6 Columbus Road, JC's Auto.
Yep.
6 Columbus Road. Number 6, like the devil, 666. 6 Columbus, like Columbus, Ohio. 6 Columbus Road, 6 Columbus Road, JC's Auto. So those of you local in the Columbus, Mansfield, Galleon, all that area up through there, love for you, baby Jonas. Anybody else? Something else? Come on.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Jack. How you doing, Jack?
I'm doing great. We don't understand biblical authority. We don't understand liberty. We don't understand freedom. The idea of they're going to come take your stuff is only because we've been brainwashed to think that they control our stuff, that you don't have the right to own and use property. Property that you own that can be controlled by somebody else you don't own. So we're all living in this false dichotomy. We got to learn to go to work. We got to learn to own our stuff. We got to learn to use our stuff. We got to learn our biblical authority. We got to learn our family authority. And we don't. We've been told to obey. Romans 13, obey somebody quick.
That's right. That's right. False.
Stop it. Just stop it, people. Just stop it. Live. Just like Phil Robertson said, you think they're going to arrest y'all? We've even had this. We've had the sheriffs in Maine basically say, look, unless you're committing a real crime, we're not going to interfere. You want to go to church? Go to church. You want to get together? Get together. We had somewhere between 1,000 and 3,000 people shoulder to shoulder in Augusta, Maine, 2 weeks ago. And I walked down the street with my headset on, transmitting on my little transceiver. And I was hugging people all the way down the street. I'm going to hug them all. I don't care. I'm not afraid of this stupid thing. And I'm not going to listen to Janet Mills. She can kiss my grits.
Amen, brother. Because there's something, as we said, something far more nefarious going on there. So, folks, in my mind, this stuff is all, it's all tied together from the demonic realm. I think if we were to really get in and understand the depth of the evil behind this entire thing, we would, well, you know, I'm not a QAnon follower. I'm not a QAnon follower, but I'm not QAnon said, the day will come when they will not be able to walk down the street. Talking about what these people have done to us, what they've done to us. The day will come when they will not be able to walk down the street. I wasn't going to go there. I heard you, Lord. I'll do it. Jared shall go to it, says prosecute war criminals. I came across this today. I have a lot of people send me a lot of stuff. Yes, I want to get to gifts. I want to get there. Bear with me. This is important too. Remember a week ago or 2 weeks ago, talked about there's no redress of grievances. There's absolutely no redress of grievances. Robertson is talking about. They don't, folks, they don't have the authority to do what they're doing to us. Right or wrong, they don't have the authority to do it. It's the same thing that you do with your own children. If you let your child do something that he doesn't have the authority to do, even though you appear it's harmless, the next time he feels hell with me, right? And so this popped up. On Henry Mackow, I never go to Henry Mackow. I mean, he's got some good stuff. I just never go there. But let's scroll down this page a little bit here, Sheldon, if we can, because he said some really, really important things. I think is his name. End the stupidity. Start the top there, Sheldon. He says, it's time to end the stupidity. I'm talking about end the corruption, all right? Prosecute all those involved for giving bad data. In other words, those who gave us the data, bad data, prosecute them. Prosecute those behind the push to implement the bad data. Prosecute them. Prosecute all those who took advantage of the situation, like hospitals and nursing homes, to try to get money from them, millions of dollars. Prosecute all politicians who voted illegally to violate the Constitution. Why don't we prosecute them? Prosecute all the politicians who voted yes to print more counterfeit money. They can't do that. Why don't we prosecute them? Prosecute all politicians and all law enforcement who violate the rights of the people. Why don't we prosecute them? The cop that arrested Alicia down at Planned Parenthood, why don't we arrest him? Why under the color of law? Remember we talked about that the other day? Prosecute all those who spread disinformation and propaganda. Every politician, every media outlet, every lying scientist, doctor, drug, prosecute them. You can't destroy the lives of millions of people and then say, oops, sorry, our data was wrong. Those involved should be tried, have all their assets seized, and then be executed. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. Why do the people, the true government, allow the public servants to commit monumental crimes against them and get away with it as if they were untouchable? Hey, go to my homepage, go to our video page, and watch that video that I put up there yesterday. About the justice system and what is the name? I get my brain to work here. It's a system of justice for the elite. Where is that? Rule of law is dead. Watch that video. Watch that one, because that's what we're talking about. There's no one to prosecute all these folks. And the scripture says, because lawlessness will abound, love of many will wax cold. Don't go back to Henry Mackow. That's a great article. It's in the show notes. Pick it up and read it. But until the crime and punishment, remember that book, Crime and Punishment? Until there's punishment, crime will continue. And nobody can be exempt. There have to be consequences, even in public policy, there has to be consequences. Sheldon, go back to that. Go back to that video page real quick. There has to be consequences. And I mentioned this to you yesterday. Robert Kennedy Jr. I've got a video up there of Robert Kennedy Jr. that I've accused all of you. This will affect us all. This is about 13 minutes. It's the same thing. Crime and punishment. You do something, there's consequences for it. And there are no consequences for anything in America today unless it's done by the righteous. Then there are consequences. Then the government comes down on the righteous, but there's no consequences for the unrighteous. And we the people, at some point, we're going to have to stand up and push back. Go ahead, Jack.
Okay, give you a perfect example. If you do something good that you don't have jurisdiction or authority to do, it's very difficult to fight back against that. See, the Maine legislature back in 1906 put in this process of citizen initiative. And it sounded good because it was for the children. This is all the way back in 1906. And they didn't have the authority or the jurisdiction to do this, but they put in the citizen initiative process, which by the time 1976 came along, that had been modified enough to make us a direct democracy. And how do you fight against something that is a good thing, see, but they didn't really have jurisdiction or authority to do? So every time we do something, they come up with Bloomberg sends a couple million dollars into Maine because Maine's a cheap date. And we get this citizens initiative process. Right now, we're working on this ranked choice voting thing. And they're gonna spend millions of dollars and waste everybody's time trying to kill ranked choice voting. But instead of that, they should be destroying the citizens initiative because that's how ranked choice voting got in. See, we don't go to the root and we don't understand our authority and we don't understand jurisdiction.
That's right, that's right, Jack. So even right now we see going on the ideal of mail-in voting. That's a train wreck getting ready to happen, right? And who's doing it? This is malfeasance. While in office, it's misfeasance and malfeasance while in office. Folks, you can't do that. Listen, you can't tell a guy to wear a mask just because you think it's a good idea. You can't do that. But we let them do that. Why? Well, because we are living under this thing, this idea of the color of law. Well, it's what Phil Robertson was talking about. You can't do that. No matter how good you think it is, you can't do that. Here in Ohio yesterday, our governor now made social distancing and hunkering down in home strongly suggested, no longer mandatory. Which, by the way, it's been mandatory, and there ain't been nobody doing it. So it's another law that becomes meaningless, and people say, oh, that law doesn't mean anything. So therefore, people begin to pick and choose what laws they're going to follow. And I got in my car yesterday. I counted it. My seatbelt beeps 50 times. When I turn the car on, it beep, 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 50 times. 50 times. Now, listen. I know I should buckle. I know that. But the government ain't got no right telling me I have to. And I have the right to do it. And we let them do it, right? Seatbelt laws and, you know, the police officers pull you over now. It's happened to me. I was speeding one time. Police officer pulled me over and he wanted to be nice to me. He says, I see your buckle. You weren't buckled. Yeah, well, I forgot to yell, so I wasn't buckled. He said, here's what I'll do. He said, I'm not going to write you a ticket for speeding. He said, I'll write you a ticket for not buckling your seatbelt. There won't be any points on your record that way. I didn't know if I'd been raped or not. I'm trying to figure out what had just happened to me. He pulled me over for speeding and charged me $150 for not having a seatbelt on. You with me? You following me? So it's what my friend Dave Klontz used to call do good legislation. Just do good legislation. And now it's everywhere. Now it's everywhere. Do good legislation has become racial quotas, and it's all just do good. We're gonna solve all of society's ills with do good legislation. Church is doing it now. See, the church is doing it now. There's do good Christianity now. It's just do good, not be good, not follow the Lord, not honor the Lord. Do good. Feel good. Everything's good. I'm okay. You're okay. See, this thing, this spirit has has crept down into every aspect of our everything we do. Everything we do. Because we've gotten away from the rule of law. Antinomianism. But there's consequences. See, you're going to stand before the Lord and you will give an account for what you did. You will. We all will. And some of us, luckily, will be under the blood. But we're only forgiven because God didn't wink and nod at sin. He sent his son who paid the price for our sin. So the sin was very important to God. It was so important to God, he sent his son. He didn't say, oh, that's it, boys. I forgive you. That's all right. Cool. We're in good shape. I'm your homeboy. You're my home bud. We're good here. No, no. It was so serious. The following of the rule of law was so serious to God that he said, I can't have a relationship with you. And you have to pay that. You got to pay the price. Wages of sin is death. You got to pay for it. Somebody's got to die. And so he sent his son, his left son die. That's how serious it was.
That's what Romans 6 says. Shall we continue in sin that grace may increase? May it never be so. Do you not realize that you who have been baptized in Christ were dead to these things? And then what you were talking about the church, it's because, you know, we get beat down with, oh, that's not love, or that's not love, that's not love, if you call anything out. But coach, if you go to Leviticus chapter 19, starting with verse 15, it talks about that the love of our neighbor is that if our neighbor is wrong, we are to rebuke them. We are to correct them. And we are to point out what's wrong there.
That is love, right? That's love. Whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. See? And because we've let so many things slide, even in the church. Can somebody tell me something? Really now. What isn't welcome in most local churches? Can anybody tell me anything that's not welcome there? I'm going to pause for a minute.
Well, that depends on what local church you're talking about, Coach.
I get it. But when you think of the average, everyday jellyfish church, can signs out in front of it, everyone welcome. Everyone welcome.
However.
So, however what, Joe?
Don't go around. The word of God, you'll find out how welcome you are.
Joe's up. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Joe.
No one is allowed to speak. No one is allowed to confront the pastor on certain issues, things of that nature. You actually get taken out of the assembly. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's the nature of the church today. It's a little kingdom run by one person.
Sort of like government, huh, Joe? Sort of like government?
Exactly like government.
Yeah. And lots of times, Joe, it's a board of directors, which is so unbiblical. The church was established and to be led by elders, not a board of directors and not a finance committee. And once you get those two things in there, and I'm telling you from personal experience, I have a finance committee, but we every year, well, we have our meetings quarterly, but at the end of the year, when we're putting people into place who wants to be in the finance committee, I let them know. I want to let you all know that you guys are oversight to make sure that all of our receipts are on the up and up and everything. I said, but you have no spiritual authority of making any decisions in the church. And I let them know that.
Amen.
Dale, that's exactly the same thing as applicable to the voting thing. It's not whether we vote by mail or go in and pull a lever. In my lifetime, I voted by taking a number two pencil and filling in a square. I voted by taking a little plastic tool and pushing out a chad. I voted by taking and mailing it in when I was in the military and wasn't in my home state. I would mail in vote every time I voted. So it's not the process of voting. It's the integrity of the process.
Yes, sir, Larry. Very well said. Very well said. And they want mail-in voting because they can cheat. They can cheat. See, again, talked about yesterday, we're dealing with unethical people. Let me make...
You say they want mail-in voting. Okay, here. I want mail-in voting because it'll be easier to stop cheating if you do it right.
Yeah. I don't think we can do it right yet.
Well, see, that's a personal opinion. That's not a fact.
Why would that be?
Because you have an opinion that we can't do it right. I have an opinion that it can be done right.
Oh, I have an opinion that it can be done right, but I'm not going to trust these evil people to do it right. That's my point.
Well, yeah, that's exactly why we on our side need to get ahead of the ball and steer it in the direction that it needs to go before they steer it into the corrupt direction.
Amen. I'm with you. Okay, so listen, I'm making an executive decision. I got 20 minutes. I'm going to do spiritual gifts tomorrow. I'm not going to hurry this, dude. I want to go here because I want to show you something. Go to Sheldon. Go to the Lord shall smite thee. You just click on that one. Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. See, we don't want any justice. We don't want any justice. Now we all know Deuteronomy 28, don't we? We love to read Deuteronomy 28, and it came to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently to the Lord, to observe and to do all of his commandments, which I commanded thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth, and all of these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. And oh, you're going to be blessed in the city and blessed in the field, blessed in the fruit of the body. And we love to read this in church. Love to read this in church. But we miss the if, see. We miss the if at the beginning of it, right? If we were to hearken unto the Lord to do, if we do that, consequence, you do this, we do this. If you do this to the Lord, he'll do this for you. Blessed. We love it. We love it. But I want to show you something. The judgment side of God that the church just will not keep going talk about. Scroll down, Sheldon. Just there, it's verse 7. Let's run down through there real quickly. Lord shall cause his enemies to rise up against you. Verse 8. They shall command blessings upon you and your storehouses and all you set your hand to. Remember, this is if we obey and do hearken unto the Lord. The Lord shall establish you as a holy people unto himself, sworn unto thee. And if they shall keep his commandments, the Lord will walk with you and you'll walk with him in all the ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that you're called by the name of the Lord. And they shall be afraid of you. Oh, yes. And the Lord shall make you plenteous in goods and the fruit of the vine, fruit of the cattle. And yeah, Lord, but open up those windows and pour out that blessing, Lord. Lord shall open up his good treasure. Verse 13, he's going to make you the head and he's going to make you not the tail. I hear people pray that all the time. He may make the head, not the tail. This is all conditional, folks. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do it. All those blessings, if, but there's an if not, isn't there? And I want you to watch this, because this is really, really important about opening up the door of the church and letting just anybody come walking in and any old state that they're in. Verse 15 says, but it shall come to pass if thou will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord. To observe, to do, he says, you get all these blessings if you do it, but if you don't, here's what's going to come knocking at your door. I want you to watch this. Watch this. That all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. The Lord's sending these curses, folks. Cursed shall you be in the city and cursed in the field. Cursed shall you be in your basket and your store. Cursed shall you be in the fruit of your body and fruit of your land. Cursed shall thou be when thou come in and cursed shall you be when you go out. And the Lord shall send upon thee cursings. Who will? What? The Lord shall send upon thee cursings and vexation and rebuke. What? I thought he loved everybody. Until thou be destroyed. Wait a minute. The Lord shall send thee cursings, vexation, rebuke, and all that you set your hand unto to do until you be destroyed? Until you perish quickly? What? Who's sending this? That's got to be the devil. No, because of the wickedness of your doings whereby you have forsaken me. So the Lord, who will? The Lord. What's he going to do? He's going to make the pestilence cleave unto you. The Lord's going to do that until he's consumed you from the land, whither thou goest to possess it, where you're gone. And the Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, with a fever, with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning. And the Lord shall smite you with the sword and with a blasting and with mildew. And they shall pursue you. Till you perish. What shall? All the inflammation and burning and sword. and the heaven that is over your head. Remember that one we talked about, right? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. So, and that heaven over your head, well, boys and girls, that's going to be brass. And the earth that is under you, you're going to be iron. Try plowing up that iron. Try digging a hole in that iron there, boys and girls. And the Lord, verse 24, shall make the rain of thy land powder. The Lord's going to dry up the rain and dust. And from heaven shall come down upon thee until you be destroyed. Friendship evangelism. Jesus loves everybody. And verse 25 says, the Lord shall cause you to be smitten before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. You're going to go out and act like you're a big deal, and they're going to, wow, they're going to send you running for the hills. Shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. There you go. There you go. God has a kingdom. And your carcass, why? It's going to be meat to all the fowls of the air and the beasts of the earth. And no man shall fray them away. Those buzzards going to be eating on you, and ain't nobody going to chase them away. And the Lord then, verse 6, I hope his anger is about over here. Because the Lord's going to smite you with the botch of Egypt and with the emeralds, with scabs that itch, where your head can't be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness, blindness, and astonishment of your heart. You shall grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in the darkness, and you shall prosper, and you shall not prosper in your ways. And you shall not be oppressed and spoil evermore, and no man shall save thee. And you shall betroth a wife, and another man's going to come and lay down with her. And then you're going to build a house, and you're never going to live in it. And you're going to plant yourself a good old garden, but you ain't getting one grape out of there, boy. And your ox, they're going to kill that right before your eyes. You ain't going to get one bit of it to eat. Your donkey, he's going to be violently taken away from you before your face. Won't be donkeys today. It'll be tractors and skid steers and computers. You shall, and it shall not be restored to you. And your sheep shall be given unto your enemies. That could be in the church, couldn't it? Huh? And you shall not have no one to rescue them. Your sons and your daughters, well, they're going to be given unto another people. They're going to be given to the secularists and the universities and to the Homo sapiens. And your eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long. You ain't going to find them. And the fruit of your land and all your labors, boys and girls, a nation that you don't even know is going to come and eat it all up. And you shall be only oppressed and crushed away. So that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. You're going to be so crazy with what you see is going on. And then the Lord's going to smite you in the knees. He's going to kneecap you. And in the legs. The sore botch, it cannot be healed from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. Hey, folks, the Lord's doing this. The Lord shall bring you and your king from which thou shalt set over thee. He's going to bring you into a nation which neither you nor your fathers even recognize. And there shall you serve other gods, wood and stone. Anybody feel like saying amen yet? And you shall become an astonishment, a proverb, a byword among all the nations, whither the Lord shall lead you. You shall carry much seed out into the field and shall gather little of it back, for the locust shall consume it. You're going to plant vineyards and dress them and you're not going to drink any of the wine, nor gather the grapes. For the worms shall eat them. You shall have olive trees throughout all the coasts. But you won't even have enough oil to be able to anoint yourself. for your oil shall cast his fruit. You shall beget sons and daughters. Then you're not going to enjoy them, for they're going into captivity. And all the trees and the fruit of the land, locusts are going to eat. And the stranger that is with thee shall come upon thee very high, and you shall be go down very low. Good for nothing except to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. The stranger shall lend to you, and you shall not lend to him, because he's going to be the head, and you're going to be the tail. And moreover, all these curses shall call upon thee, and shall pursue you and overtake you till you be destroyed. Why? Why, Lord? Because you hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and statutes which he commanded you. And they shall be a sign, and they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder and upon thy seed forever, because you serve not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Because you didn't, therefore shall thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against you in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck until he has destroyed you. Who did? The Lord is? The Lord's going to bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of old, nor show favor to the young. He's just going to be fierce, and he's going to eat the fruit of your cattle and the fruit of your land until you be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kine, or flocks of thy sheep, until he have destroyed you. He shall besiege all your gates until they high and fenced walls come down, whereupon you trusted in those walls and those gates throughout all your land, and he's going to besiege you in all thy gates throughout the land which the Lord thy God gave you. And you're going to eat the fruit of your own body. Wow. You're going to eat the flesh of thy sons and thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee in the siege and in the straitness, wherein thine enemies shall distress thee. So that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eye shall be evil toward his brother and toward the wife of his bosom and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave, so that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he has nothing left him in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in all thy gates. And the tender and delicate women among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness. She was too prissy. Her eye shall be evil toward her husband of the bosom, and toward her son, and toward her daughter, and toward her young one that cometh out from her between her feet, and toward her children which she shall bear, where she shall eat them. For one of all things secretly in the siege and straitness, wherein thine enemy shall distress thee in thy gates. And if thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make the plagues wonderful, the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and long continuance, and sore sickness, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt. Yada, 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 yada. Don't sound good, does it, boys? It doesn't sound good. Now, thank God our personal sins are under the blood. Thank God for that. When the Bible says that God has not appointed us under wrath, see, I think we take the misconceived conception that we're not going to have to go through anything because God's not appointed us into wrath. I believe it's the wrath of the Lord as we stand in his judgment. God's not appointed us to wrath when we stand before him, because why? We're under the blood. We've received. But the consequences, that Deuteronomy, folks, is written to his people. I don't know what else to say.
Coach?
Yeah.
People say, oh, that's the Old Testament. We don't have to do that. Yep. Guess what? God is the God of all time, old and new.
I change not.
I change not.
Yep. You know what, Coach?
Amen, Joe.
Go, Gary. Hi, Gary.
I was going to say, the Bible is very logical, and I put in the text there, you know, the ifs, the buts, the therefores. Yep. It's very logical. If you do this, if you don't, but then, and all those, it's very logical. And we lose that. That's all through the Bible. People, mm-hmm. you say, oh, it's unconditional. There's very conditional. It's very conditional.
Amen. And you know, this business about being under the blood of Jesus Christ, redeemed, paid the price for the sins of the world. There's nothing in there that said it paid the price for God's adopted children. Jesus taught extensively about the sins of God's children in Matthew and a couple of other places. And I'm not going to say it again. I've said it many, many times. Research it out for yourself. Find out what Jesus had to say about those who are God's, have accepted the payment that Jesus paid for their prices when they were in the world. But see, it says in John 1:12, when you receive Jesus, he gives you something. What does he give you? He gives you whatever it is that it takes to become a child of God. Search it Amen. For yourself from there. Don't listen to me. Search it for yourself.
Susan, come on in. Go ahead, Susan. I saw you try to get in. Just go ahead and unmute yourself. No? Anybody else? Yes.
No. Yeah, I know that everybody didn't want to go into the COVID-19 too deep, and I'm fine with that. The only question I had was yesterday after we got off the show, I was thinking to myself, the president was standing there saying, you know, those people that want to get the vaccination, it'll be there for them, and those that don't. And there's a question of the mandate for all. I'm just wondering, can he do what he did with the COVID-19 and that whole thing of giving it to the states? And telling the states, hey, you deal with it. And is that where that's going to come in?
Well, I think I'd say the answer is yes. Hey, Davey, yes, he could do that, I would think. I would think so. This is why it's good having grandchildren live close to you. But I think that ultimately, see, that's why to me, this whole thing has been so important right here to push back against just these little things that are going on. If they condition us, we can't go to work. If they condition us, we have to wear a mask. If they can do all of these things, it makes us more compliant when, well, however it is they choose to come. So if President Trump says, we now have a vaccine, but we're going to leave it up to the governor, then he's able to wash his hands of it. Well, we have found out right now he already followed unconstitutional, unrighteous edicts. We already.
Yeah. It's precedence. Yeah. Precedence is set. You said it earlier, Coach. You said it earlier. When you give a child something they're not supposed to have, it's hard to take it away. We've given our child the government. We're the parents. We're in charge of the government. We've given our child too much authority. And now we can't take it away.
That's right. And the government's going to say, well, you did it last time. You followed us last time. Only this time, see, it's going to be a little bit more of a strong arm. We can see that strong arm just hiding right around the corner. We can see it. And if heaven forbid, if what I think's going on, we're going to see it again in the fall, folks. We're going to see it again in the fall. And who knows what the fact? Go to the Drudge Report. I don't even go to Drudge Report anymore. Go there real quick, Sheldon. I don't even search Drudge anymore. Drudge is a lefty. He used to be somewhat okay. I don't want to discuss that, but I want to show you something what it says on Drudge Report here real quickly. The big headline I saw this morning. New outbreak. Huh? New outbreak. Here we go again. New outbreak. Headlines on Drudge. Churches forced to reclose? Really? Really?
Silence is consent, Coach.
Silence is consent. Look right under that. 38% of Arkansas churches. Really? Those daggone churches. Let's get rid of them. Mm-mm-mm. Oh, Lord, let's pray God's merciful. Let's pray God's merciful. I'm going to try tomorrow to talk about spiritual gifts. God bless you. Thanks for being with us. See you tomorrow.